As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks. It's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Things are definitely turning. Welcome to the Friday, November 6, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone, call throughout the program, if you will. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air, or select option 2 and take Oracle with you on your mobile device. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. Net 65647. Almost forgot my zip code there. William Roberts again, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, the big Mo to me, 65647. Big shout out once again to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. The listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are welcome. The U.S. UN unemployment. U.S. unemployment tops 10%, triggers a Wall Street surge and London reactions. Gold sets new record highs, and we'll talk about all of that in a moment. Consumerism, community, climate change, much more. Lots of local news, too. We'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into this market report for Friday, November the 6th. 2009, active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We find gold trading up 20 cents at $1,089.70. Of course, that's been eradicated. That's been changed. It was up $1,090.10, up 80 cents, and then it jumped again, 1102. Well, we'll see. 1102.30, I don't know. That's a pretty high number, but it might be there. We'll see what happens. Did it cross the $1,000 mark? We'll have to see. Silver off 7 cents in early trading at $17.32. Platinum off $8 at $1,047. Palladium off a buck at $3.28. All those numbers are likely to go the other direction throughout today. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, again, as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, an hour ago, the lows and the highs were $1,085.60 for a low, $1,099.50 for a high, and at $1,089.70, which I have calculated here, your gold would be up $352.60 year to year for a 47.85% return on your investment. But again, the gold prices are going straight up. There was lots of action. Looked like the ETFs came into the market right at the opening bells. Anyway, long story short, we're going to find out where it's going to go today. The London Gold Fix, the boys in London set gold prices at $1,095 today. It's going to go above that. We'll pick up the Dow Jones, the NASDAQ, and all of the rest of this on the other side of this first break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, November the 6th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And boy, I'll tell you what, if $1,100 gold isn't good news to you, you're not going to get any good news today. $1,102.30 on the Kitco charts. If you go back and look at the 24-hour spot gold chart on the Kitco website, you'll see the action that's happening. It looks like the ETFs are in there real strong this morning. There was some, what do they call it, flash trading. I mean, absolute straight waterfall, straight down line drops, straight back up again. Very active as the market came alive this morning in New York. So we'll see where that all goes today. It'll be one of those fun things just to track it throughout the day. Put it up in the corner of your browser. Anyway, let's go back through these numbers again. I'm going to give you the 9 o'clock numbers. Gold was trading at $1,089.70. As I said, it's just gone over 1,100. It was up 20 cents at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Silver was off 7 cents at 1732. Platinum off 8 at 1347. And palladium off a buck at 328. So if you're in the precious metals market, there's your numbers. Dropped down a little further yesterday, a big run-up on the Dow, up 204 at closing out at 10,006. So that gave all of the Dow people an opportunity to put out their 10,000 hats and put them on and run around and blow their whistles and do all the things they like to do in that foolishness. Anyway, the NASDAQ was up 50, also a strong move. 2105 was where it closed yesterday, and the S&P closed at 1,067, up 20. In the the crude oil market earlier this morning lost $2.17. A barrel trades at $77.45 for a 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude. I always give you that 42-gallon barrel thing so that you can do your own math, but you can see it's just under $2 a gallon. For crude right out of the ground, you can expect at the pumps it's going to be pretty high. The U.S. dollar index, the USDX, the ICE Inc., a little foreign product that they exchange and trade, up 5 basis points at 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, trading at 75.79. Where it'll go today is anybody's guess. The Forex, the foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar in early trading was off 71 basis points at 93 cents U.S. The Mexican peso off 47 basis points, hanging in there at 8 cents U.S. The euro trades for $1.48, down 22 basis points. The British pound, $1.65, losing 20 basis points in early trading. And the Swiss franc also down 23 points at 98 cents U.S. In the treasuries, the bonds, the yield on the two-year, very low, 0.86%, 0.86%. The yield on the two-year treasuries, the 10-year, is at 3.49. The 30-year is at 4.39. In the mortgage market, if you will, the 15-year mortgages, again, we're seeing this trend upward now, the withdrawal of credit, making it more expensive to buy a home in America in the light of everything else. The mortgage, 15-year mortgage, moves up from 4.58 a month ago to 4.71%. In the 30-year mortgages, also moving up quite a bit this morning, from 5.10% a month ago to 5.22%. And, of course, when you get a mortgage, you'll have to pay your points and your origination fees on top of that. So that's the, as it's happening, market report, the active trading. Here's a little bit off Bloomberg. U.S. stock futures drop on jobs report as gold rises to a record high by Sapna Maheshwari, brother. November the 6th, Bloomberg, U.S. stock futures fell, indicating the Standard & Poor's Index will end a four-day advance after the nation's unemployment rate jumped to a 26-year high of 10.2%. That was the number they were dreading, folks. They were anticipating that it would come in at 9.9 or thereabouts, but it cleared the 10% mark and is at 10.2% officially, probably closer to 20% really. Oil declined while gold climbed to a record high and treasuries gained, period. Citigroup, Inc. and Walt Disney lost more than 1% after employers cut more jobs than forecast last month. American International Group slid 11%. That's AIG, by the way. Slid 11% after sales fell at its life insurance and property casualty divisions. The S&P 500 futures expiring in December dropped 0.8% to 1,054.30 at 8:51 a.m. in New York. The Dow Jones Industrial Average futures declined 71 points or 0.7% to 9,883. I guess they can hang up their 10,000 hats. Crude oil for December delivery fell 2.7% to 77.50. You can see that's just a little higher than where it was at 9. Gold jumped to a record high. This is a posted high, a record high of $1,098.50 an ounce in London. As I said, Kitco's showing that it crossed the 1,100 mark, went to 1,102.30 briefly. Will it come back again today? We'll see. It's very hard to make a bull case when we're getting these kinds of statistics, close quote, said Liam Dalton, who oversees about $1.3 billion as the New York-based chief executive officer of Axiom Capital Management, quote, the dynamic upthrust of the market is likely over. This is a very, very structurally negative number for the economy going forward, close quote. Again, that said by Liam Dalton, oversees about $1.3 billion as the New York-based chief executive officer. He doesn't think things are looking too good. The dynamic upthrust of the market is likely over. The S&P 500 has climbed 58% from a 12-year low in March. After $11.6 trillion in government spending, lending and guarantees returned the economy to growth following four straight quarters of contraction. Drop down a little bit further here. Payrolls fell by 190,000 workers last month. workers notice. They didn't say entrepreneurs. They didn't say enterprisers. They didn't say the middle class. These are the workers, the labor. Payrolls fell by 190,000 workers last month compared with a 175,000 drop anticipated. Quite a difference there. By the median forecast of economists surveyed by Bloomberg News. Drop down a little further in the article. It says this fear, or the fear, is that we may be looking at an unemployment rate that may trend toward 11%, said Keith Wirtz, the chief investment officer at the Fifth Asset Management, Inc., which oversees $18.6 billion in Cincinnati. Quote, we're in the kind of environment where investors are very sensitive to news releases after such a sharp run from the March low, close quote. U.S. stock rallied yesterday, sending the S&P higher for a fourth day, as jobless claims and worker productivity beat estimates, and Cisco Systems, Inc. said a global economic recovery spurred a rebound in sales. Well, you can see that that wasn't exactly honest. Anyway, there is that. Of course, all of you probably already heard the story coming out of Fort Hood, right? U.S. Army psychiatrist held after 13 killed on base off of Bloomberg by Viola Geiger and Anthony Capizio. Army psychiatrist under guard in a Texas hospital after being accused of killing 13 people, wounding 30 others in one of the worst mass shootings at a U.S. military base. The Major Nidal Malik Hassan opened fire on fellow soldiers with two handguns, and we'll finish that story on the other side. Stay with us.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
This is the greatest show on radio because Paya is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
And once again, the psychiatrist had a psychosis. Obviously, he was definitely not interested in going to Iraq. Let's finish up this little brief article. I'm not going to go into a lengthy dissertation here on this. I'm sure there will be much coverage yesterday, today, and continuing on this particular issue. But again, this Major Nidal Malik Hassan opened fire on fellow soldiers with two handguns at the Fort Hood Army Base yesterday before he was shot several times. Lieutenant General Robert Cohn, the commander of the 3rd Corps at the base, told reporters. Hassan was shot by a female, they say civilian officer. I don't know whether that's a police officer or just quite what. You know, they always call us the civilians, but in this case they're calling her a civilian to make a distinguishment, I guess, between the military and the regular police. But just goes to show you, you don't have to be some roided out, buffed up guy to squeeze the trigger. Women are just as good as shots, in my opinion, as men, typically. Here's a quote. He is currently in custody and in a stable condition, said Cohn, adding authorities initially believed the assailant had been killed. As horrible as this was, I think it could have been much worse, he said. Military officials and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are probing what triggered the attack. Well, we know what triggered the attack. His name was Major Nidal Malik Hassan. By the licensed physician at a crowd. Let's see. Military officials and the Federal Bureau of Investigation are probing what triggered the attack by the licensed physician. This guy was a psychiatrist, I think. At a crowded medical processing center on the base, Senator K. Bailey Hutchison, a Texas Republican, said she was told by Fort Hood authorities the suspect was about to be deployed to Iraq or Afghanistan and had been very upset and angry in the past few days. From another story I read earlier this morning, he'd been upset and been asking for a discharge for years, but if not months. Anyway, that's that. The last news story today, and then we're going to get into some other material. I don't want to spend the day on news today, new news out of the Regurgitorium, but Lula calls on leaders to attend climate talks. This by Ed Crooks in London and Fiona Harvey in Barcelona off the Financial Times Limited. Reads this way, Brazil's president has challenged other leaders to attend next month's climate talk in Copenhagen to break the deadlock in negotiations to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Oh boy. He's issuing a challenge. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva told the Financial Times he would speak to Barack Obama, U.S. president, there's some oxymoronic stuff there, next week to urge him and other leaders to go to Copenhagen on December the 16th through the 17th, the final days of the talks, to save them from failure. Things are not looking too good in Copenhagen. Quote, we may not reach an agreement because of a deficiency of global leadership, close quote, said Mr. Lula da Silva. The discussions have been outsourced to advisors, but it is better that the ones who say yes or no are prime ministers and presidents, and I would agree with him on that. Mr. Lula da Silva named Hu Jintao, China's president, and Manmohan Singh, India's prime minister, as key participants and said he would attend if the other leaders did. He made no new commitments to curb Brazil's emissions. But notice what we're dealing with here. With the absence of Russia, we're talking about the BRIC nations in this little short article. Brazil, India, and China urging Barry the Usurper to head off to Copenhagen on December the 16th to 17th. And, of course, Lula or Lula, didn't make any commitments to curb Brazil's emissions. However, the call from a president with substantial success in the world's ninth largest economy, which has grown impressively in recent years, raises the pressure on the leaders to other leaders to attend. Todd Stern, the U.S. climate envoy, has suggested Mr. Obama will go only if a deal seems close. The deal in Copenhagen. Gordon Brown, the UK Prime Minister, says he will attend if it helps secure a deal. A deal. Going for the deal. In Barcelona on Thursday, at the last round of formal talks before Copenhagen, the UN and leading developed countries raised the prospect of negotiations dragging on to the end of 2010. A year out. Mr. Lula da Silva also called on rich countries to promise more money. Well, he's in the ninth largest economy. How much is he putting up? To help the poorer countries cut their emissions. Anyway, that's the story on that. Whether it will be of any value or whether it will not be of any value, perhaps you could get on the telephone sometime before the closing bell today and contact your U.S. senators and tell them to strongly condemn any participation by the United States in this climate change treaty. They really need to stay home. Just boycott it. That's the thing to do. Just say no to globalism in all of its various manifestations. Let's go in. I've been promising this for a while. Let's talk a little bit about consumer education, consumerism, etc. We'll start out with a brief discussion out of this Principles of Economics 101, our study. It says, again, our study of economics is out of Chapter 25, the distribution of income. Our study of economics began with a survey of the American economy in which we tried to get a clear picture of the economic conditions under which we live. Of course, we haven't gone through all of these chapters on air, so this is just kind of a summary of where they're coming from, but this next sentence is important. This survey was followed by an explanation of the national income. You know, we hear about the gross domestic product and all of that. The gross national income. This is how the IMF was originally set up. Those nations with the greatest GDP contributed the most gold, and those had they had the greatest voting power in this International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. Again, this survey was followed by an explanation of the national income and consumption. We learned of the great importance of consumption in the determination of the national income and its resulting effects upon the prosperity of the economy. This was written back in 1953. If you're not consuming, you're not contributing to the national income. We learned that production is made possible through the contributions of landowners, laborers, capitalists, and enterprisers. Those are the four factors. Land, labor, and capital was Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, which we add enterprisers as being the fourth critical link. The enterprisers, the entrepreneurs, of course, they are the middle class, not the labor pool, not the steno pool, not the union guys. Even if they're making $65,000, $75,000 a year, those are the workers, workers of the world unite. You don't have to be a millionaire to be an enterpriser. But the man that's actually running a job, whether you're running a farm, which most of the people, the greatest number of enterprisers in this country at the time this textbook was published back in the 1953s, this time period, the farmers were the greatest number of the enterprisers. So if you attack the middle class, you're attacking the farming community almost exclusively, at least at this time. It was like 75 or 80% of the entrepreneurs were farmers. And then there's all of the other people that own their own businesses and employ folks. You know, we've heard about the small businesses, anywhere up to 500 employees. That's what that's all about. So when we come back from this break, we'll go into what is consumerism in a little greater detail. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, a nation of consumers. That's the American people. Bye, bye, bye. Don't worry about it, folks. Nothing to see here. Just go out and shop, right? Okay, well, we've all been told that. Well, let's find out a little bit more about what is consumer. And this go into the study just a little bit. The consumer movement, consumer education, kind of flow through this as we can find it. In the Encyclopedia Americana, published back in 1951, of course, many of these articles were written all the way back to the first publication, about 1923. Give us an idea of where we came from, to the point now where we have become basically just the consumers, the dumping ground for all of the cheap Chinese plastic crap that comes from our communist neighbors to the east. Consumer education, the teaching of a purchaser what to buy, where to buy, when to buy, and how to make the best use of what he does buy in order to get the greatest value for his money, is a natural outgrowth of the consumer movement. All right? Everybody remembers Edward Bernays, the whole idea of propaganda, the idea of using, transferring or changing the word, transforming the word propaganda into public relations and marketing. That whole idea, creating the demand. We talked about the supply and demand, or demand and supply, creating the demand for goods and services, creating the demand for these four-star energy products, these green energy products in your home, creating the demand through the cap and trade, climate change, H.R. 2454, Clean Energy and Security Act of 2009 and its Senate variant and the Copenhagen Treaty, getting us all to become energy conscious, all that. Recycling, we talked about that a bit yesterday. Consumer education, very important in order to keep this ship estate afloat. The consumers are very important in all of this. They float the boat, so to speak. Consumers, courses in consumer education are given in many colleges and high schools throughout the country. Back in 1940, the Consumer Service Section of the Agricultural Adjustment Administration, there's a bunch of A's, AAA, estimated that the number of such courses then being given exceeded 1,000. You can imagine how that number has mushroomed today. Add to that the television programming and all of the magazines and newspapers, and you're just about inundated with buy, 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 buy. Every single day, every hour of your waking existence. In some institutions, the subject is taught separately, but in many, if not most, colleges and high schools, it is sponsored by the various departments, such as economics, business, home economics, and social studies. I mean, do they even teach home economics anymore? I used to just love the home economics classes. Sometimes they would bake brownies. Sometimes they'd make chocolate chip cookies. You could just smell it throughout the whole school. And of course, if you stopped by the home ec room, the girls would be glad to give you a cookie or a brownie. Yeah, baby. Those were the days. In still other institutions, the subject is jointly sponsored. But regardless of whether taught separately or in connection with related subjects, the object is the same: to increase purchasing efficiency and to promote wiser usage of what is bought. You see, in those days, you could still buy something like a Sunbeam waffle iron, and it would last throughout your entire life, and you could hand it down to your children. Today, you buy this cheap Chinese plastic crap under the same Sunbeam or GE brand label, and you're lucky if you take it out of the box and plug it in that it'll even work. You're lucky at that point. No longer that heavy-duty stainless steel and cast aluminum griddle surface. No, no. Now it's all just something else. The scope of consumer education. So far, no definite or arbitrary schedule of what is or should be included in consumer education has been determined. Some teachers are disposed to make the subject so comprehensive as to include almost everything taught in the school except specific job training. Some people really go overboard, eh? Other teachers limit the subject, or at least their teaching of it, to commodity study, others to buyer guidance, and still others to consumer choice. Determination of what the subject is to include is a fundamental problem that must be solved before consumer education can be assured of a definite place in the school program. Outstanding work in consumer education has been done at Stevens College, Columbia, Missouri, where in 1937 the Institute for Consumer Education was set up as a project of the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, which is devoted to the increase and diffusion of economic knowledge. According to Dr. James E. Mendenhall, the educational director of the Institute, primary of consumer education objectives are these. This is what you would get. This is their primary objective here at this school in, well, what have we got going on here? Some kind of a thing. Let me just tend to my screen. I've got some kind of a network timeout going. There we go. Refresh the screen. Solves the problem. Don't like to see that. Here's number one. To help the consumer to become a better manager of his resources of money, goods, time, and energy so that he secures the maximum satisfaction from these limited resources. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you that have children in public schools today, how many of your children have taken a course to become better managers of their resources of money? Is there such a thing as Checkbook 101? Does anyone sit down and teach our young people about what is a Federal Reserve note? Maybe they give them a little chit-chat about fractional reserve banking. I know, I'm dreaming. Not going to happen. Goods. What is a good? Do they have utility? So on and so forth. That's economics. Goods. Time. Time and energy. Time and energy so that he secures the maximum from these limited resources. We sit down and talk to the children today about exchanging 45 years of their life for money, only to come out at the other end at 65 or perhaps 70 as a Social Security recipient, impoverished, completely dependent upon the nanny state. Two, to aid the consumer to become a wiser buyer of goods and services so that he obtains the best possible values in making purchases in the marketplace. I thought we bought things spontaneously today based upon the advertisements that we've seen in the last 48 hours. You rush down to your doctor and you ask for that specific erection pill or something. You go into the grocery store and just fill up the cart with all the high fructose corn syrup and genetically modified grains. But again, to aid the consumer to be a wiser buyer of goods and services so that he obtains the best possible values in making purchases in the marketplace. That's why they don't teach this, you know. Three, to assist the consumer to become a wiser user of goods and services so that he gets the most utility from what he has. And four, to help the consumer to become a better consumer citizen. That's a hyphenated construction there. A consumer citizen. A better consumer citizen. Go out and shop. So that he acts not only to improve his individual economic status, but also to contribute through democratic means to the welfare of consumers as a group. Greatest good of the greatest number. 4 points. Interesting, huh? You can see how you could work those 4 points around to quite a study. The most important contributor to the development of the teaching materials in the field of consumer education has been, in the recent years, the Consumer Education Study, or the CES. This project has been sponsored by the National Better Business Bureau, but is in no way subordinate to it for its authority. The director of the study has been Dr. Thomas Briggs, and the associate director who undertook to carry so many of the practical details has been Dr. Fred T. Wilhelms. Effective bulletins on such topics as Learn to Use Advertising, The Consumer and the Law, Using Standards and Labels, Managing Your Money, Buying Insurance, Using Credit Insurance, and similar bulletins have been distributed to many thousands of schools and unquestionably have developed keen interest in the field of consumer education. A bulletin which summarizes the attitude of the consumer education study towards the problem is given in Consumer Education in Your School. Interesting stuff, isn't it? My, how things change, and yet things seem to remain the same. We'll be right back.
Thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowder. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And during the break, glancing through the bibliography and the rest of this article, we're seeing that I see that most of the there is nothing later in the bibliography published later than 1945. In the body of the text here, it's 1937, 1938. So we're looking at this time period in the post-Roosevelt administration up through the close of World War II. Very important time period in this. Definitely, we got to keep our mind on the time of this writing to see what was happening. Continuing, it says the enrollment in consumer education. There are many thousands of students enrolled in consumer education in various high schools and colleges. Excuse me, in the United States. However, many tens of thousands more are getting instruction in consumer education in courses in such departments as business education. Again, home economics, social studies, science, and the like. There's no question that the whole concept of consumer education has permeated the secondary school and, to a lesser extent, the colleges. Therefore, no mere recital of numbers of students could give an adequate identification or indication of the scope of consumer education in the schools, nor upon its influence upon the students. The evidence of the success of consumer education as now being presented in the schools will in considerable measure be determined a generation hence when the students in the schools become adults. To the extent to which they use good practices in consuming and the extent to which they participate in the development of a consumer movement, to that extent, consumer education will have been a success. Now, as I've said before, in regards to sustainable development, if you want to boil it all down to one word, I think you could easily use the word demand. We have to continue to sustain the demand for development. environmental development, environmental and developmental concerns. This is a continuation of what was begun at the beginning of the last century as we moved through the Industrial Revolution into the Machine Age, into the worldwide wars, out of that period through Korea and all of that, into this new socialist state of America. Consumerism and consumer movements played a big role in all of this. Remember that we were taking men and women from the farms in that strong agrarian society that most of America was, 97% of the population living outside of the cities, and we flip-flopped those numbers as we went through the period of wars and depressions, leaving only a fraction of our population on the land and most of the people working within the factory system. The teaching procedures used in consumer education to get away from bookish lecture-type presentations, which we're doing here on a regular basis, and emphasize developmental project types of learning in which skipper activity predominates, whatever skipper activity is. There is every reason that this should be so. Consumer education taught as a formal subject would be practically worthless. Hope you're not finding this practically worthless. Related subjects. Various scholastic departments have made significant contributions to consumer education. These departments include the social studies through economics, business, education through bookkeeping, junior business training, and especially the merchandising or commodity study courses. Science, mathematics, and practical art courses also have contributed through applied presentations of these offerings. Home economics has been especially concerned with consumer education. However, the authorities seem to agree that separate courses in consumer education, apart from any departmental allocations, in some ways offer the most satisfactory system of teaching this subject. And remember, when this article was written, more men were in the workforce than women. During the wars, we had Rosie the Riveter and all of that, while all of the doughboys and all the boys were killing each other in Europe and Asia. Everything was pretty much left to the women and the elderly and the youth at home. But in this particular inquiry, at this time period, a man gainfully employed could easily expect or anticipate that his wife would be at home as the householder, if you will, raising children. And in a great number of homes, the woman would never see work during the course of her life as long as her husband was successful. She wouldn't have to go to get a job. She was busily employed in taking care of the children and taking care of the house and tending to things around the home place. Very valuable as a skill. It would have to be taxed. So that had to be broken up. We had to go in and break up the family. But anyway, we're looking at this idea of consumer education. This is indoctrination at the highest level. This is that Wally and June Cleaver. Production was going 24/7 at some of these factories, and they were just turning out those television sets in record numbers. And in order to get people to buy the television sets, they needed to have a consumer education program. Magazine I remember seeing back late 60s, early 70s around my house, my parents' home, was the Consumer Reports. And my dad would always take out the Consumer Reports and look through it before he'd ever make a purchase because he wanted to spend his money wisely. The product of this kind of education. Dropping down further, the content of consumer education, possibly the most extensive study of the content of consumer education, is that of Henry Harrop, 71 Courses in Consumption, School Review, October 1938. Mr. Harrop organized the topics in these courses under eight major headings: consumer goods, consumer services, general buying problems, consumers' financial problems, consumer and government, consumer organizations, consumer and public welfare, and principles of consumption. You get the idea? A nation of consumers. The topics especially stressed are food and clothing, under consumer goods, insurance, under consumer services, advertising under general buying problems, and banking and saving under consumer financial problems. There are many high school texts available on the subject of consumer education. I have one, by the way. Maybe one of these days we'll bring that out and let everybody know what home economics used to be like. Very thorough study, by the way. Some emphasize general buying problems, some give detailed specifications of goods and almost ignore buying techniques, some emphasize choice making as a moral and philosophical problem. When was it the last time you were standing in the Walmart store faced with the decision as to whether to buy or not to buy and you considered it as a moral or a philosophical problem? And some present consumption as an economic phenomenon. Among the very helpful publications in the consumer education field are those of the Institute for Consumer Education, above mentioned, the Consumers Research Bulletin published by Consumers Research, Inc., and others. I'll skip those. The testing agencies, such as Consumers Research, it probably is Consumers Reports now, and especially Consumers Union, which make laboratory tests of all sorts of commodities, have made available a great deal of valuable teaching material, as have also many private firms. Some of the latter may be a trifle biased, but on the whole, the bulletins put out by the private concerns have been remarkably free of propaganda. Isn't that interesting? Right out there in the open, in black and white in your eyes. Remarkably free of propaganda. I guess Edward Bernays hadn't circulated yet. Most useful have been the publications of general business associations, such as the National Association of Business, Better Business Bureaus, and some of the material of the National Association of Manufacturers. The National Consumer Retail Council likewise has issued some informative bulletins on labeling and similar subjects. How long have we been after the cool country of origin labeling? Wouldn't you like to know what was in your food? What is in natural spices? What is sweetener? We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from survivalistseeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from survivalistseeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit survivalistseeds.com.
Survivalistseeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, November the 6th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Perpetual frog in my throat this morning. Again, my name is William Roberts. Always got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. Today we're doing some more of that good old-fashioned book learning. You know, you've read many times, at least I have, someone going off to Oxford and read the law for so many years, or readings in law and so on and so forth. In the past, books were rare. Books were scarce. Books were expensive. And so sometimes you'd go to college and you just have to sit there and listen while the professor read, and you took notes copiously. That's called a copybook, by the way. And many men were very fond and proud of their copybooks, and they added to their copybooks throughout their entire lives, wrote down quotations and favorite things and important dates and stuff like that, kind of like a diary. Today they call it journaling, but of course copybooks were different than that. The time that this document was written, this article on consumer education, published in the 1951 Encyclopedia Americana, they're looking back about 20 years. They're looking back to the Depression period, the wartime period, the inflation, depression cycle. Now, if Goldman Sachs was involved in all of that, but certainly the international bankster gangsters were busy at work, no doubt. But we had to, somehow or another, fan up the flames of consumerism in order to keep the economy growing. As all of the people moved away from the country and came into the cities, they were more and more and more increasingly dependent upon what was available at Woolworths. And they had to make their 40 cents an hour, $40 a week many times. That's all they had to live on, no matter how many children were in the house, 40 bucks a week. Well, of course, they made their, as I say, they knew how to squeeze a dollar until the eagle grinned. And their dollar was actually worth something, backed up as it was by gold or silver. Not the same as they are today. $100 will barely cover the bottom of four of these cellophane sacks that you pick up at the grocery. When I was young, I worked as a box boy. A box boy, yeah, for Safeway, before I was promoted to the produce department. A box boy. In other words, I bagged people's groceries. And I think I did a bang-up job of it. I used to love all of the different shapes and trying to figure out how to, whether I was going to need a single bag or a double bag. I used to make those things so cubically perfect, it was incredible. But I was taking pride in my work, and I made sure that everybody's groceries were packed to get home in the best possible condition. And then I wheeled them out to the yard and put them into the parking lot and put them into the trunk of the Packards and the Cadillacs and the 57 Chevrolets and all of the other fine automobiles made in America with large, roomy trunks. No, we didn't throw them all over the back seat of the car. We put them in those nice, roomy trunks and closed the lid on them. Anyway, back to the article here. Adult consumer education by no means is consumer education confined to schools and colleges or to the young. There are numerous associations devoted to the teaching of adults. Among these may be mentioned the American Association of University Women, the Federation of Women's Clubs, the National Association of Business and Professional Women, and many others. That concludes that particular article. But you can see where there was this idea that we hear about today, lifelong learning. Well, there's nothing new about it. Been with us for a long time. Indoctrination from cradle to grave. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And as they say, good money drives out bad, and certainly in the business community, as we discover studying the principles of economics, Economics 101, so too do efficient producers drive out the inefficient producers. The whole idea of a free market and competition, unfettered, non-governmentally regulated competition drives out the inferior companies oftentimes. Of course, sometimes they quash the ones that really should be brought forward, but they're offering products that are just too darn good. But all the names that we can remember, you know, from childhood, GE and Westinghouse and Sunbeam and so many others, Singer, you know, just Hoover, vacuum cleaners, you know, Electrolux is gone, but Hoover's around. They don't certainly don't have the same quality they used to. But nevertheless, all these products that we are familiar with, all the brand names, these are the big companies that were figuring out how to be economically accurate in what they were doing. They drove out all the competition. Good money drives out bad, so to speak. Gresham's law, but it's really the law of marketing. And here we are like 100 years advanced from the time that this article was really written. We can see how this has advanced in the society. There are moral and philosophical questions to consider. Well, let's go back into the consumer movement now. We talked about consumer education, and there was a consumer movement that was built around that. And it was being driven by the captains of finance and industry, largely, and governments. The government needs to have the highest possible gross national income. They have to have the maximum number of people working in this system ever since we created the Internal Revenue Service. All of the cities, the towns, all of your counties are dependent upon tax revenues. We've got to increase the value of everyone's property, personal and real, and then tax the hell out of it so that we can continue to mushroom the size of government, providing all of these services that the consumers demand, right? The consumer movement, the rise of man's importance as a consumer is an inevitable result of the industrial system. The industrial system, who was it that coined the term industrial? I'll give you a clue. His name is Claude Henri Duveroy Saint-Simon, a French socialist, the mentor of Auguste Comte, founder of positivism and the one that coined the term sociology and crowned it the queen of sciences, where we study man as an object of a new science, a social science, sociology. Of course, the consumer movement would be a continuation of that. But again, the rise of man's importance as a consumer is an inevitable result of the industrial system, particularly of American development of mass production. Mass production, the factory system, the rise of the machine age, replacing men with machines. We're no longer doing cottage industries, turning out handiwork, handcrafts, Stradivarius violins and things like that. Now it's all just production stamped out, boing, 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 boing. All made out of ticky-tacky, all look just the same, and none of them play well. But they play okay. And so everything's okay. It's kind of like Dadaism. On the heels of the tremendous industrial revolution of the 19th century, that would be the 1800s, in which the old close relationship between production and consumption disappeared, there arose many new and persistent problems of consumer welfare. Intelligent purchasing became an increasingly difficult process as the array of consumers' goods and services multiplied in both number and complexity. Many times have you gone to Wally World or any of China Mart type places? Just about any store nowadays. I mean, it might even be a small town store, but everything in there is still made in China. And you're looking for something you need, something that broke or something you need, to get something else produced for yourself. And you look at the packaging, you can't really get your hands on the thing. It's inside of one of these blister packs. You look at the packaging and you look at the thing, the little thing, and you kind of hold it one way and you hold it the other way, and you have to come up with this moral and philosophical decision. Is this just another piece of cheap Chinese plastic crap, or will this thing actually do what I want it to do? It feels like it weighs like it might have some metal content in it, but I'm not sure. Hold it up to the light, try and peer in, see what the back might look like. And finally, you decide, okay, you take the plunge, you buy it, you bring it home, you take it out of the package, and you realize that you've gotten hosed once again. It won't do what it says it will do. It's not a combination drill bit sharpener. It won't sharpen a single drill bit, and the handle breaks on the first crank. You live 22 miles from the store, you've drove 22 miles to get to the store, to drive back to the store, take another 22 miles plus a couple of hours of your time round trip, plus you'd have to stand in line. and you only paid $7.95 for this device, and it cost you that much in diesel fuel to drive back and forth. And so instead of taking it back and getting your money back, you just throw it in a big box in the corner of your shop, labeled cheap Chinese plastic crap defective. I have one of those boxes. Continuing, productive capacity got so far ahead of effective demand, there's that word again, demand, that the sharp competition for trade influenced procedures and sellers to organize carefully planned campaigns of advertising. Campaigns of advertising. Remember, we talked about task forces the other day being military. A campaign, a military campaign, headed up by a task force. We're at war, you see. High distribution costs represented by 1930 roughly 3/5 of the total cost to consumers for commodities. And so you can understand where Buckminster Fuller was coming from when he said that it wasn't really a supply problem. It was a distribution. It was transportation. It was a distribution problem. High distribution costs represented by 1930 roughly 3/5 of the total cost to the consumer for the commodities. 3/5 of the cost of that dress was in distribution costs. 3/5 of the cost of that grocery vegetables up to Wal or Safeway or wherever you're shopping is in distribution. If you could deal directly with the farmer, you'd save 3/5. With production and technological progress soaring to unprecedented heights, the average consumer has slowly become aware that his own lot has not improved correspondingly because he has not fully achieved the advantages which should naturally result therefrom. His gradual realization that is the highly important economic entity whose concerted action with other consumers will alone bring about the higher level of living for which he strives is the basis of the modern consumer movement. The greatest good of the greatest number. Everyone participates in consumerism. We'll be right back.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local. Going through a discussion and reading from the Encyclopedia on Consumers and Consumerism, Consumer Movements. Let's wrap our mind a little bit around this idea so that we know how we became labeled as a nation of consumers, the dumping ground of the world's products, if you will. The first indications of a trend toward this all-important realization in the United States appeared about the end of the 19th century when consumers, becoming conscious of their responsibilities as buyers, again began to use their purchasing power to improve the working conditions of labor. The whole thing starts to get to be very interesting as it develops. In order to be able to buy more, factories had to be more efficient. In order to have better jobs, better wages, better working conditions, and better products in the stores, the whole system had to work on itself, and work on it we did, until we developed our systems here in this country to the fine art of buying and selling and producing, and the whole economy was going along smashingly. We were the world's greatest creditor nation. Everyone desired to buy American globally. The first Consumers League on a national scale was organized in 1899. New attitudes towards domestic problems led to the founding in 1908 of the American Home Economics Association. Education and consumers in the various aspects of their buying activities began in the form of magazine articles and books. The famous series on the Great American Fraud by Samuel Hopkins Adams contributed largely to the passage by Congress and approved by President Theodore Roosevelt of the 1906 Food and Drug Act, the Great American Fraud. You see, the pages of the calendar continue to advance, but the same problems beset us all the time. Here we are, 1906 to 2006. 100 years later, we're still dealing with the Great American Fraud, called the H1N1 flu virus. Dropping down a little further here, much of the material for this series came from the Bureau of Investigation of the American Medical Association, under the highly competent direction of Dr. Arthur J. Cramp. Why is it that doctors are always like that? Dr. Cramp, Dr. Pain, Dr. Blood, Dr. Agony, Dr. Ripoff. Yeah, that's the way it goes in medicine. The association conducted for years an energetic program for the analysis and exposure of misleadingly advertised and dangerous nostrums. Would that be Rockefeller's nostrums? Snake oil salesman? I'm afraid so. The work of Dr. Harvey Wiley, the one-time head of the Bureau of Chemistry of the Department of Agriculture, which administered Food and Drug Act, also provided consumers with enlightening information on the chemical content of various brands of foods. Drugs and Cosmetics. This book, 1001 Tests, was deservedly popular in the literature of that period. 1001 Tests. Yeah, I'll bet his book was popular, hated by some, loved by many. The years immediately preceding the passage of the Food and Drug Act of 1906 were marked by great agitation for consumer protection. So now we have Agenda 21, food safety, the promotion of a culture of safety, the safety cult, 1992. They constituted the familiar era of muckraking. I have a book on muckrakers. Get into that another time. The muckrakers and progressivism, in which the interests of consumers were strongly advocated by the press. Upton Sinclair's bestseller of 1906, copy of which I have, The Jungle, drew wide attention to the horrible conditions in the meat packing industry that made consumer protection imperative. Clean food clubs like raccoons, you know. We all wash our vegetables carefully today, don't we? Clean food clubs were organized in many places to aid in the enforcement of this act. The Housewives League of Chicago, could you just see them? Here they come, swinging their purses, and they're pissed. Oh, well. They did so much good. The Housewives League of Chicago evolved from one of these clubs, stimulated development of similar organizations in other parts of the country. Educational work was begun by the federal government through such agencies as the Bureau of Home Economics of the Department of Agriculture, developed in 1923 from an earlier Office of Nutrition Resource, 1894, and the Cooperative Extension Services initiated in 1914, which I'm going to talk about in a moment. But you get an idea here. Out of consumer demand, the plethora of government agencies that were then created, and the plethora of consumer groups and private clubs that were created. This is all of the opening door to what is known as pluralism. And for that, you can go back and listen to our talks on pluralism in the past, where Harold J. Lasky and other early socialists were setting up this interesting little paradigm. You know, it's Hegelian in nature. Thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Lousy drugs, lousy food, synthesis, more and more and more government control. Bigger and bigger government, greater and greater taxation. The first of a series of so-called guinea pig books, how do you like that, quote-unquote guinea pig books, Your Money's Worth, appeared in 1924. This book was unique in that it discussed frankly and forthrightly by brand name the advantages and disadvantages of a wide range of products. You know, you can buy aspirin off the shelf. One bottle will be $2.50. The other will be $3.25. What's the difference? One's the generic label. The other is the name brand label. There's no difference. They're still aspirin tablets. I would imagine you would see some of that in this book, this guinea pig book. We're being the guinea pigs. Anyway, there's a lot more to that. Drop down a little bit further in the article to close this out. In this widespread organization for the advancement of their common interests, consumer groups are striving for these broad objectives. One, to accurate consumer information regarding the quality of the goods they buy, less high-pressure advertising and selling practices, and more honesty and integrity in those with whom they deal. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Two, increased consumer income. Not just money income, but its value in terms of purchasing power. Proponents of the consumer movement feel that there is no excuse for a $1,160 median family income level in a nation fully capable, from a productive basis, of doubling that amount at this time. $1,160 was the medium family income, the median, the middle. There were less, there some had more. Three, independence of the consumer in determining how to spend his income, in organizing and in expressing his own opinions. Freedom of speech, freedom of choice. Where's that today? And more emphasis in the educational system on the guidance in the selection of channels of expenditure and on the knowledge of the essential facts with respect to commodities. So ends the article. We'll be right back.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And in the past, in the many months and weeks that I've been on here with Oracle Broadcasting and on Revolution and RBN prior, I've made frequent reference to the extension programs. And we found it in this article on the consumer movements. The university extension programs were instrumental. This idea of adult or lifelong learning, excuse me, making information available to people that are outside of the reach of the public schools or the public school system or the organized colleges, the land-grant universities, reaching out into the hinterlands all across America in the 3,066 counties with their county extension services. The University of Missouri Extension is no exception. Lincoln University. This is a little blurb I'll just share with you. Start with this. This is out of the Berry County, Missouri Annual Report, University of Missouri Extension 2007. The Extension's program guidance comes from you, it says. Title of an article here, Extension's program guidance comes from you. Of course, you know, we heard from Janet Napolitano and Catherine Sebelius, you know, the guidance coming from the CDC and from the WHO as far as the dispersal of this H1N1 flu virus and vaccine. Guidance. Extension's program guidance comes from you. This is the interpretation. We'll interpret science for you this morning, that kind of thing. But, of course, we know that the University Extension movement goes all the way back to the mind of Beatrice Webb, Sidney and Beatrice Webb, the early Fabian socialists in England. It was a way that they could make sure they could get the message out. Toynbee Hall and some of these other group homes were ways that you could use these little centers, these cells, sleeper cells, Fabian socialist sleeper cells in various cities, towns, and states to get the message of socialism out. But the University of Missouri's Extension Council and staff would like to thank the Berry County Commissioners for their support and funding for programs during this past year. In turn, notice they get their funding from the County Commissioners. In turn, the Council and staff remain committed to improving people's lives by helping them meet the opportunities and challenges of the 21st century with research-based education and information, especially pertinent to sustainable development and man-made global warming, among other things. County residents decide the direction of MU's Extension local educational programming. That's what you do with a computer. Program. You program something. Programming. It's like going to a drama or to play. Here's the various actors and stakeholders and their programming. Current emphasis areas in Berry County focus on agricultural profitability and sustainability, building family strengths, youth development, and water quality. Careful about that youth development stuff. Be very careful. Very, very careful about that youth development stuff, you know, things like the Boy Scouts and the 4-H and all of that. You ever seen that symbol for the 4-H? Look very closely at their logo. Go back and study the beginning of the YMCA and the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Brownies, and all the rest of that. This idea of developing nationalism was not limited to Adolf Hitler's Germany. These techniques have been used for a long time. Again, the mission of the University of Missouri Extension is to serve Missouri by extending the unbiased research-based knowledge and problem-solving resources of the University of Missouri on high-priority needs of people throughout the state. Close quote. The University of Missouri and Lincoln University, Missouri's two land-grant universities, do look that up. Find out about land-grant universities, are charged by federal acts of Congress to deliver extension programs. They're charged by federal acts of Congress to deliver extension programs. When you put your hands out for unearned grants in aid, the shackles of control come on. You have to be careful. You might be charged by the federal government to implement an act of Congress. An act of Congress which was derived from something that came out of the UN. Current programming, again, programming efforts statewide focus on agricultural profitability and viability, building family and individual strengths, building human resources, business, community, and economic development, enhancing health and nutrition, environmental quality, and stewardship and youth development. And it continues. This also, prepared by the University of Missouri-Lincoln University, is developing community leadership, the XL approach. And, of course, we all know that Barry the Usurper was a community organizer, right? And every time you listen to the news, or every time you listen to these politicians or any of the change agents that are out there, the one word that they use more often than others is the word community. Developing common unity. Develop communism, actually, but community leadership, the Excel approach. And this is a workbook. This is a training manual for change agents. As a matter of fact, the very first word in this book, it's a three-ring notebook, by the way, tabulated. The very first word in this notebook, in the text section, is change, 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 change you can believe in, right? Change, 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 comma, civic education, comma, civic, civilian, Roman law, and the need for leadership. Here's a quote. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Close quote. Margaret Mead. You don't know who Margaret Mead is, you might go up on Vicki Davis's website, channelingreality.com, click on the Become Vocal Local link, click on yesterday's broadcast, and look at the material that she has there, where you'll find Margaret Mead's name mentioned. Rapid and widespread change in the world around us is affecting our communities in dramatic and often unpredictable ways, it begins. Additionally, we face the continued challenges of nurturing and maintaining our communities, their people, and structures. If communities are to create a high-quality life locally, localism, as globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are. In our cities, our towns, our counties, and our states. That was my words, part of the Become Vocal Local credo. Dropping down here, a very important part, and a very important and basic part of this development is community education designed to build the capacities of people as involved citizens and effective leadership. And throughout Agenda 21, you will find capacity building is one of the primary objectives as they spread sustainable development around the world. Governance is the collective process. Don't you like that? Governance, instead of government, is the collective, not the individual. But governance is the collective process of setting or creating the public vision. How many times have you seen a vision statement in these local boards and Soviets' writings? A vision statement. The goals and policies of a community. Again, governance is the collective process of setting or creating the public vision. The goals and the policies. Notice police is in there. Policy is in there. Law is not there, but policies are. Of a community. Community governance is the shared responsibility of all members and segments of a community. In a democracy, governance involves all interested people and depends on the collective expertise of its citizens. Well, I can tell you. What does the changing world look like? Next heading. Society is no longer industry-based. Yes, this is true. Post-industrial America. But is information-based. That's right. We're going to eat our words. Work is different. Where yesterday's work required strength and dexterity, today's work requires different skills. Thinking, problem solving, decision making, computer knowledge, and teamwork. Have you ever found any kind of a meaningful job listed in the help wanted ads in your area for anything that required strength and dexterity? No. Today now it's just all thinking, problem solving, decision making, computer knowledge, and teamwork. Next bullet point, we have become a global society. You see how the programming works? Step by step by step. Lucretia Borgia's slow-acting poison, one drop at a time. We have become a global society, fait accompli. Problems, issues are complex. They must be viewed as part of a larger system and must be approached systematically. As answers are no longer clear-cut, issues must be seen from many different perspectives. Much more to come. Stay with us.
heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And shifting into warp drive to get through the last segment of today's broadcast and cover as much of this material as I can. I've been wanting to cover this for some time. It's the Excel program, folks. This is created by the University of Missouri, Lincoln University, their outreach and extension, the Community Development Group, Experience in Community Enterprise and Leadership Development. All right. Again, this section is titled, What Does the Changing World Look Like? Problems and issues are complex. They must be viewed as part of a larger system and must be approached systematically. Excuse me, it's systemically. Systemically. As answers are no longer clear-cut, issues must be seen from many different perspectives. That's, well, diversity, all-inclusiveness, and all styles of problem-solving and thinking must be utilized. Our society is much more mobile. These are bullet points. Technology instantly links people and events around the world, and if you want to go back to that, the year the world changed again off of Vicky's website will be helpful. The world's resources are being consumed. Yeah, they've been being consumed since day one, Bonehead. And environmental problems of one country affect other countries around the world, and that's the Copenhagen. Communities are becoming proactive rather than reactive. many, many, many months back when I started talking about solutions as something that should be included in everybody's broadcast every day. It was because I'd already studied some of this stuff coming out of the change agents in the Tavistock and Brookings and other locations. If you know where the enemy's going to strike you, then you go there and get the high ground first, right? But the world's resources are being consumed. Environmental problems of one country affect another. Communities are becoming proactive then reactive. And skills for civic engagement are integral to building community. Community building. Changes for community leadership. These forces include, well, I should say the whole thing, a number of concerns facing communities demand leadership related to community development. The contemporary arena, gladiators, in which community actions are pursued, an action is a lawsuit, are pursued can seem overwhelmingly complex. The forces external to the community, locality, and structure that affect its status and its future are important to take into account in the process of formulating leadership purposes, and that written by Pig in 1999, and these forces include the devolution of authority. Go over and look at the Sandy Berger article that we talked about yesterday. The devolution of authority for action and service delivery to the community. In other words, from the Tavistock Institute, we're taking power from the centralized governments, and we're taking power to the edge now. This is the transition. This is where we're going. As globalism transitions from global to local, what are they doing? They're accomplishing public buy-in and they're getting voluntary compliance from the people. The devolution of authority for action and service delivery to the community. What are they doing? They're going into a regionalized system all across the world. It's no longer sovereign nations and sovereign states. Now it's that global feudalism where you have a lord on the manor. He's the count in your county and he's the boss. The Soviet councils, the double bind created by trying to maintain quality with fewer resources, doing more with less, recycling, cutting back, tightening your belt, expectations for sharing power and responsibility. Everyone has an expectation for sharing power and responsibility. You see that at the tea parties. Interdependence, right out of the Soviet Constitution, interdependence, diversity, collaboration and communication, and the displacement of the developmental paradigm with the globalization paradigm. This being taught to potential leaders where you are coming from, the university extension programs, displacement of the developmental paradigm with the globalization paradigm. Another pair of lousy dimes, right? What will successful communities of the 21st century look like? The University Extension says, or they ask, 20 clues to rural community survival. Here's number one. Evidence of community pride. Successful communities are often showplaces of community care and attention with neatly trimmed yards, public gardens, and well-kept public parks. But pride also shows up in other ways, especially in community festivals and events that give residents the chance to celebrate their community, its history, and heritage. Sound familiar? Something happening in a neighborhood near you? Neatly trimmed yards, public gardens, well-kept public parks, the International Property Maintenance Code, the International Building Codes, the downtown beautification and revitalization grants, etc. Emphasis on quality in business and community life. People in successful communities believe that something worth doing is worth doing right. Facilities are built to last, and so homes and other improvements. Again, we go back into the HR 2454 and look at all of the things that are supposed to be done under the new International Building Codes. You're going to build buildings to last. They'll be able to withstand hurricanes, droughts, windstorms, locusts, plagues, fires, and anything and everything else that the creator of the universe can throw at them. Who's behind that? Why, of course, the insurance companies. They want to prevent repetitive loss claims. FEMA. Participatory approach to community decision-making. Authoritative models don't seem to exist in these communities. You want to get rid of that authoritarianism. That's why they went into Hitler's Germany. Crush. I read you that. Out of the Information and Control Division, Bertram Schaffner's research. How is it possible? What stage do we have to interact in the life of a child to break this family, child, child, family bond and relationship? How early in their life? Authoritative models don't seem to exist in these communities. And power is deliberately shared. People still know whom you need on your side to get something done, but even the most powerful opinion leaders work through the system, formal as well as informal, to build consensus for what they do. Consensus meetings, the Delphi technique. Cooperative community spirit, cooperatives, common. Cooperative communities, communalism, cooperatively. Successful rural communities devote more attention to cooperative activities than to fighting over what should be done and by whom. The stress is on working together towards a common goal, the greatest good of the greatest number. And the focus is on positive results. They may spend a long time making a decision, and there may be disagreements along the way, but eventually, as one small town leader put it, stuff gets done. And if you can wear the people out with meaningless meetings where nothing is really accomplished, eventually all the people go away, and then the opinion makers, the opinion leaders, the decision makers, just go ahead and make that decision for you. Stuff gets done. Realistic appraisal of future opportunities. Many of the communities have already learned an important strategic lesson, namely building on your assets and minimizing your weaknesses. About time to get that house torn down over there on the corner. Those seedy people repair lawnmowers in their spare time and their place is a mess. Few small communities believe that they are likely to land a giant industry. Many of them say they wouldn't want one if it came along, fearing too much dependence on one employer would be dangerous. Don't want any more industry in our towns, folks. Don't want one big, large industry like GM coming in and building automobiles in your community. Look at the downside of that. Look at Detroit. The successful community knows that a more realistic approach considers the community and the region as the context for future opportunities. Awareness of competitive positioning. The thriving communities know who the competition is, and so do the businesses in town. Everyone tries to stress local loyalty, localism, as a way to help. But many businesses also keep tab on their competitors in other towns. They don't want any of the hometown folks to have an excuse to go elsewhere. And of course, with gasoline at $6, $10, $12, $14 a gallon, no one's going to be able to go elsewhere anyhow. This is an area in which the recognition of community assets or sustainable development or smart growth or new urbanism, people, associations, and institutions is vitally important. The comparison of one town to another is significant means to spur improvements. Competition. Competition between the local barons. Oh, my. We're all out of time. I'll be back again on Monday. Hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They are forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-Panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar-powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.